and welcome to the 112th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
We are here to talk North Texas athletics, primarily football. We're not talking much basketball. That's been kind of a sore subject lately.
Yeah, no doubt. Basketball has been one of the most disappointing seasons that I can recall. And I've been following it for a while. Not as long as many, but more than most. And there were really high expectations with Tony Benford this season. You had Tony Mitchell coming back. You know, it was just going to be a magical season. And we figured out pretty quickly that things weren't going to work out. And then there were injuries and a lot of other things that transpired. And it's just been a nightmare. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a lot of expectations, more expectations than we've probably ever seen from the basketball team. And a lot of people really were disappointed early on. Some of the contests that we were hoping we would be in, high-profile games, we just couldn't hang. And then, you know, that UTA game was a real disappointing loss. And since then, you just kind of seen people drop away from the program.
Well, you had a program in basketball with Johnny Jones that had built up to a certain level of respectability. Now, you could argue he wasn't playing as tough a non-conference schedule as Benford took on this year, but the reality of it is that people were coming to the pit. They were excited to watch Johnny Jones' team play. We had that exciting run in Hot Springs in the tournament, where we were just a game away from getting the NCAA bid. So, it's a tough pill to swallow when you see one of the programs, one of the major programs at the school, suffer so much when you expected them to be so good on paper. And it's just, I get the sense right now the fans just are ready to close the book on this situation and move on. But it's definitely caused a lot of strong opinions on the board and, just a much better, it's just a much, much better story for me right now is spring football and looking at Coach Mack.
Well, and that's what we were, weren't we talking about? We were talking about at the end of the season. We were like, let's just bring on basketball. Let's just get to basketball. And now here we
and
are.
Now we're saying that now about football.
Now we're bringing back to football. You know, our fans, we've got a hardcore group, and that hardcore group has grown over the years. Mm-hmm. But, we were just joking around earlier that we're going to be old and gray by the time we can string it all together. And you just got to think, with Benford coming in and Tony Mitchell and, this high-touted recruiting class, it was like, we can't go wrong here. I mean, right. We were getting cocky. We were telling everybody to watch us this year. And now you're kind of like, a little wrong on that.
A lot wrong on that. And, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. Losing Brendan Walton at the beginning, your one real true shooter at the beginning of the season was a tough pill. Now he's going to redshirt and be back next season. But then you lose Chris Jones. Holman's gone, Patton's gone. I mean, you look at the lineup and it's just a shadow of what it was supposed to be. So injuries have played a part, but the reality of it is it's also coaching. Benford's got to take some responsibility for that.
All right, so the basketball team right now is in conference play. They're 6-13, overall 11-19. In the West, we're only above Monroe. It's definitely not where we wanted to be, especially after the preseason picks. But you just gotta wonder what they can do down the stretch, and it's just disappointing all the way around.
Well, CJ's back now, and he had a nice game the other night, so that's a big lift to get him back in the lineup after the foot injury. Is it possible that they could make a run? Hey, man, with Tony Mitchell, if he gets on fire, anything can happen, but the odds are against it. We're going to have a really bad seed, and it's going to be very difficult for us to win four games in 4 days, which is basically what we're going to have to do.
Right. All right, so you know what? I don't want to beat the basketball dead horse because that is definitely what can easily be done. So I definitely don't want to go down that road. So let's talk about a little more positive. What else is going on in the program? You know, next year is the 100th anniversary of North Texas football.
Right.
You know, we talked to RV last summer, as we usually do with our two-hour pod, you know, state of the program with the AD. And he was talking about some things they're going to do, and we're starting to see those come in. So before we talk about the schedule, let's talk about other things that are going around. And primarily, the big thing right now is they're trying to get people to participate in the North Texas All-Century football team.
Right, right.
So,
this is the 100th year of North Texas football this coming season. So, you know, that's a big milestone. 100 years, that's a century of football.
Yeah, and there, you know, there's a lot of great players that played here. And if you look at this ballot, I mean, this ballot here is enough to make you go, oh, yeah, man, you know what? I didn't realize we... You know, you forget about one or two players in every position that were really impactful and really made us proud here. So looking at that list is great, but, you know, RV talked about it, and we're kind of getting hints that they might do some uniform things and some limited edition. You know, the Flying Worm Retro, Kawasaki Green, all that, you know, when me and Rob, you know, 10 years, actually it was probably 15 years ago, me and Rob, nearly the 15 years ago, put those Flying Worm shirts out, you know, and it was the Flying Worm. It just said Mean Green, and everybody loved the retro
logo.
Worm has just been a huge retro. Everybody loves that logo. So if they do something with that, and we're kind of getting ideas that they're going to be doing a lot with that logo, and that's going to be a real popular thing.
Hey, you know, that kind of stuff is great. I mean, yeah, you go to watch the games and you want to win, but anything that can add some excitement to that whole experience, I think it's fantastic. And, you know, the idea of them doing some things with the uniforms and stuff like that, that's just going to add to the fun that everybody's having. I'm all for it.
All right. So, Harry, I'm going to just go through this list. And I don't know how much you've looked at this list, but I'm going to just go through here and name a position, and you tell me, boom, first name that comes to your mind. Now, here's the thing. You know, you have not been around here as long as some of the people that were here during the 70s and the original Mean Green stuff. And,
right.
So, and, you know, my hat's off to those groups. And, you know, every generation thinks that the players that play in their generation are the best. So there's going to be a lot of controversy on this, but let's just start it out here.
Sure.
Quarterback.
Quarterback, you know, and I've already voted, so I'm going to tell you who I voted for there. I mean, Scott Hall. And I know his stats are not as strong as maybe some of the others on there because he was not part of a primarily passing offense. Mm-hmm. But Scott Hall, in the time I followed this program, led us to more victories, more bowl games, more bowl appearances than any other quarterback that we've had. And I just think that guy put the team on his shoulders. He was a leader. I like Scott because not just because of the winning that occurred when he was here, but just the leadership that he provided. There's some very turbulent times. I mean, you know, the death of Andrew Smith, we've talked about it before. That tragedy was probably one of the toughest things this program's ever had to face. And Scott was there to help lead us through that. To me, Scott Hall deserves that slot. That's who I would vote for.
Just trying to think. When Andrew Smith passed away, that was Scott's senior year, or was that the year? I thought that was the year after.
Well,
I can't go. I can get them all mixed up in my head right now.
I know this. I know Andrew led us to our only bowl victory, and when he was a redshirt freshman. And I want to say that occurred after
Scott had left.
I don't think I think Scott was still here, but
I can't remember. Well, yeah. I completely agree with you though. Scott did make a huge impact. But you look at some of these names. I mean, he was here during the time that I was. You know, I just got out of college and I was really into the program and everything. That's when I really took off, and that's what a lot of people that are fans now are here because of that team.
Right.
That 2000, 2004, 2005 team. That's when they were here. So I got to hand it to you that is a good selection, but you look at some of the other names on here. Jordan Case.
Great player. I mean, Jordan Case, I know a lot of people are going to vote for him. He was before my time, but I can totally understand why someone would want to vote for Jordan. He was a winner.
Yeah, Steve Ramsey.
Steve Ramsey, believe it or not, a lot of people are voting for him. Mm-hmm.
his stats are unbelievable.
Well, his stats are unbelievable. He played, I guess he was picked up by the Saints. His career record was 22-6-1. That's tough to argue with.
Admin in the chat room right now is bringing up Mitch Mayer.
I'm going to get to Mitch Mayer. I'm just going through some of the older guys first for me, when I was in college, or right when I got to college, Mitch Mayer was the guy. And you look at his stats, what he did, how many times since Mitch was here would we say, gosh, if we would have had Mitch back on here. I mean, you look at it, his numbers, he was the number one career passing yards at 8,500 yards.
Wasn't even a passer coming out of high school. You were in the option at Plano.
I know. And see, that's the whole thing. He put together some great numbers, and you got to think if we would have been at a different time, or it would have been if he would have been here from 95 to 99. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways we could look at it. We might even be in a different conference. You know, there's a bunch of different ways you can go, but you know, Mitch Mayer is for me would probably be one of the top picks. But when you look at Steve Ramsey or Jordan Case, or you look at some of these other guys,
and they all have a flaw. That's the thing. You know, yeah. I mean, each one of them. I mean, if you look at Mitch, the knock on Mitch is he didn't play at 1A level. He played at the 1AA level.
You know, one of the ones that I'm looking at here, I wasn't real familiar with is Vidal Carlin.
Yeah. He was very good.
Yeah, he was drafted third round by the Cardinals, played 7 years in the NFL. And you know, that was a different type of game back then. But, you know, you look at his career record, and you just kind of go back and forth on one.
There were some good ones. I mean, there were some good ones. UNT90 in the chat room brought up the other Scott Davis.
Well, yeah, that's what's about Scott Davis, and everybody's going to remember that game against Texas. But yeah, he had some great years. I mean, you look at all these names on here besides Johnny Riola and Ted Wright. But I mean, honestly, no knocks against those gentlemen if they're still alive. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah,
and
there's not a lot of people that can remember that. I mean, we got to get out of that mode. I that's something the athletic department does. And I understand you got to respect those that era, but
yeah,
come
on, you got to. I mean, that was a long time ago. It was a different game. It's pre-war, seriously. So, but you know, how far back do you go to really look at greatness? And obviously, when you talk about linemen, you talk about Joe Green, and you got to think that he's going to be on that top of that list for a long time. So let's move on to running backs. Then again, there's some names you haven't heard here, but look at how many names that are on this list within the past few years. I mean, you look at this and start back, really, let's start back to Eric Pegram, 88 to 90, which is a big name, obviously. He did well in the NFL, 88 to 90. And then you go over to Jaquay Wilburn, 97 to 2000.
That's Mean Rob's favorite.
I know, Jaquay, 97 to 2000, which is great. And then after, you got Kevin Galbraith, who was excellent.
He was excellent.
And then after Galbraith, you had Patrick Cobbs.
Yeah.
Jamario Thomas, a little overlap there. And then you've got Lance Dunbar. I mean, we have had since 97, had some great running backs. And that was the thing last year we were concerned about. Who's going to fill those shoes?
Well, and I think Jemerson's showing that he can be that guy. I mean, that's never been a problem at North Texas.
No. And there's the great Abner Haynes there, 57 through 59. Have I ever told you about the time I delivered a package at 8?
Yes, you have told me that.
And
story.
I will just tell the story. I worked for UPS, and I did a stint as an on-road supervisor. And one day I was helping out a driver, and there was a package for Abner Haynes. And I'm being the North Texas fan that I have. I was like, oh, my God, it's Abner Haynes. So I told the driver, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take this one. I know this gentleman. And they were like, you know him? I was like, well, I know of him. And he lives in a pretty good-sized house just down there, just kind of south or east Dallas. Anyway, so I walk up the door and knock on it, and I hear the floors creaking, and I was going to come to the door. And the door opens, and there stands a man in his underwear and a white T-shirt with holes in it, and it was Abner Haynes.
Wow.
And I couldn't care what he was wearing. It was like, I'm getting this package to Abner Haynes. But that was my.
Did you tell him you were a fan, or?
Yeah, I did, and he shook my hand, and it was just awkward him standing there in his underwear. I don't know if he realized he was standing there in his underwear, but he was. But I've seen him at other events since then, and obviously he's wearing a suit and stuff usually. But it was quite an. That was my first time that I've actually ever met him. But
cool
you look
story.
At him. He's, you know, he played in the NFL, or I guess it was AFL at that time. But his number was big. His Chiefs retired his number, so he's a big name in there too. But if you look at that whole list of running backs is stacked heavily within the past 15 years.
To me, it's either got to be Abner Haynes or Patty. I mean, Cobbs to me just transcended everything you would expect of a player. He was just gutty. He was great. You know, those long touchdown runs. Patrick Cobbs is right up there. And, you know, someone I'm more familiar with than Abner Haynes, but I think either one of those guys could be a winner.
Right. I'm going to say UNT 90 put Dunbar, Thomas, Cobbs, and Haynes. I'd think that that's pretty good.
And Jamario, if he could have remained healthy.
Yeah, he said that on there, too.
And he's right. Agree. That freshman season was unfreaking.
Nobody's ever going to forget the Colorado game where he was running all over the place, and we were just going, oh, my God, he's on fire. What, we got this guy for three, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he just had some injuries, and, you know, that's going to happen. So that's a good list there, his list. You got to think of Calvin Galbraith. I mean, there's a lot of guys you could throw in there. So Pegram, there's a lot of guys. You know, you think of Pegram. Pegram was good here, but when he moved up the next level, he went all out. So, you know, there's a lot of different things you could say on there, plus and minus people, just like the quarterback situation. Let's run into tight end. You know, this is also a list of people that a lot of us remembers, Brian Waters. Waters is probably the runaway, not necessarily how great of a player he was here because he was an excellent player, but what he did when he left here and what he's done for the school.
Well, and he didn't end here as a tight end. He ended here as a defensive tackle, and he was a stud defensive tackle.
Right.
He played him wherever you needed him. You know, that's a guy that because he played – multiple positions, mm-hmm. you might tend to overlook, but in terms of just incredible talent and great kid, he deserves a spot on here somewhere.
Right.
They ought to have like a multi-purpose spot or something.
Yeah, because
like that.
What he did for the school and having one of your ex-players, former North Texas Mean Green, named the NFL Man of the Year and had that commercial. I mean, that's a lot for the character of the guy, and it speaks a lot because you're so many guys go off and they embarrass because of off field or whatever. You know, this is a guy here, and that says a lot because, you know, Andy Blount, big fan of Andy Blount, the Munchow. Gardner's not on the list, is he?
Yeah, it surprised me Gardner didn't make the list. He deserved to be on the list. Again, he was more of a blocking tight end versus a pass catching tight end. But I thought that was one thing I noticed. I thought Randy Gardner deserved to be on that list. He was as good a tight end as we've ever had here.
Right. No doubt. All right, let's move past tight ends. Let's do the receivers. Now, you look at this list, and I'm looking, I know a lot of these names. You know, the Mighty Quinn obviously is one that sticks in my mind. Troy Redwine. Love Troy Redwine.
Loved
I think he was
him.
A great player.
He was a great player.
You hear Ron Shanklin's name with a lot of the guys that have been around a while as being one of the premier North Texas players of all time. So,
and had a pro career, too.
Let's keep
in mind, having a pro career is going to give you a little more weight on this list.
Right, no matter even what you were in college, you could step up and move up, and then you become this great thing in the pro career. One of them that's on this list, and I don't think he will make it, but obviously I thought he was a great player, was Casey Fitzgerald.
Walk-on. I mean, that's...
It was a great story.
He epitomizes the North Texas story because he was a walk-on. I think his brother played at SMU, or maybe they were trying to get him to walk-on at SMU, and then he decided, no, I'm going to go to North Texas. And, man, that guy was a natural.
That's right, exactly.
Did not have a pro career, but as far as a college... You know, just an amazing player. He wasn't the fastest guy. That's the other thing crazy about it. He wasn't the fastest guy.
No.
He was just quick.
Right. Yeah, he was there, and he made the catches. And unfortunately, those were some of the leaner. That's the start of some of the lean years there. But it was he was a great player. You got some other guys on here that I'm not familiar with. You know, David Brown, I don't remember.
Oh, David Brown was amazing.
Really? See, I don't
– And he was a punt returner and a kick – I mean, he was just an amazing athlete. But he was – Mitch Mayer, you know, he was in the 1AA days, so that might count against him a little bit.
Marcus Camper, John Love, James Russell, and then you got Ron Shanklin there. Which, can they do that?
They have him in multiple categories?
Yeah, shouldn't you, like, just stick with one of them? But he is in multiple categories, isn't he?
Well, no, he's just a receiver.
Well, yeah, why did I see his name earlier? Oh, I guess that's what I was...
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Okay, sorry. Johnny Quinn, James Russell. I mean, there's a bunch of guys here. Obviously, the people that pre when we were here. some guys from the 60s and 70s there. But if you had to pick some receivers, you got to pick two. I think you're going to have to go with Ron Shanklin just because of the name and what everybody knows about him. But then my pick's going to be Johnny Quinn.
You know, that's a crapshoot. But I think Johnny Quinn's got to be – I mean, he was just so amazing when he was here. And I'd have to go with Shanklin too. I think that's pretty good choice there, but that's a tough category.
Yeah, it is. You know, Johnny Quinn ended up as his number one career receiving yards, so just keep that in mind. Offensive lineman. Obviously, I you know, there's a lot of names here that pop out at me, and here we go. We got a lot of 2001, 2004 type guys. What names out of there just stick out that just really, really make you crazy?
I'm not looking at the list, but I have it in my mind. I will tell you, for me, Philip Armour was a great player. I mean, a really, really good player. You know, he was a defensive lineman. He had the neck injury. They moved him over to center, and he just dominated.
Yeah.
I think that's one. I just always have to think of Andy Brewster. And I know he didn't play in the NFL, and he was way undersized. But that kid – another walk-on story, he was an unbelievable offensive lineman for 4 years, basically. I mean, he was a four-year starter and on a team that went to and won some bowl games. So those are the two that I think of right offhand. But there's some other ones. I mean, Scott Bowles was a great offensive lineman, and I understand that was not in the 1A days, but he was – he was as good a lineman in the country when he was here. So that's another name that I would give consideration to as well, and I'm probably forgetting somebody.
Bill Bishop, 4950.
I can't really say much about Bill Bishop.
Those are tough because we just don't know. There's not there weren't the records, the video or anything, so we just don't know all those guys. No disrespect there. Dylan Lineberry.
You know what? I'm glad you brought him up because talent-wise and size-wise, he was probably the best lineman we ever had, but – I don't think we had him all 4 years. I think he transferred or there were some issues.
No, we only had him for 2 years, I believe.
But the bottom line on the kid is he was an amazing, nasty offensive lineman.
Yeah, he was. What about Nick Zuniga?
I love Nick Zuniga. I think he ought to be given consideration. I wouldn't put him at the very top of the list, but he was there during those, you know, bowl years.
Well, you pick five linemen, so yeah. You got to think Brewster, Armour definitely. I'd say Armour definitely. Then there's a lot of guys, like I said, that I just don't know. There's a guy here from 32, 34. So, you know, it's tough to say. On that. You're going to have – it's going to be heavily skewed, and unfortunately, I think a lot of the people that remember how good some of these players are – aren't going to be doing online ballots on the internet. So you're not going to see a lot of votes for some of the older ones, I don't think. But that's why this is stacked both for me. It's going to be voted on by the fans and a committee who has a little more knowledge than some of those older players. So,
exactly.
All right, here's a good topic here. Let's talk defensive linemen. Obviously, the number one defensive lineman, which is everybody's going to pick, is
Booger.
I was going to say Mean Joe Green.
That's true. Either one. To me, those two are interchangeable. I mean,
really? And don't get me wrong. I am a huge Brandon Kennedy fan. I loved watching him. And some of the greatest moments of my North Texas watching career were Brandon Kennedy. But just name recognition, school affiliation, what he did with the NFL, how he still, you know, his name still brought up as a Hall of Famer and went to North Texas.
I agree with you, Evan, but the thing I would tell you is I believe Joe Green only played here 2 years. So I think, yes, the NFL is a big component of this, like we said earlier, but should it be the only component? No doubt, Joe Green was a dominant player when he was here, but my understanding, he was only here a couple years, right? He was in junior college.
Right.
Brandon Kennedy played 4 years for us. Now, he had a few injuries here and there, but for the most part, he was an all-conference caliber player for at least three of those 4 years.
Yeah, but, you know, Joe Green was an All-American. He was I've got that Playboy from 68 that's got him listed as an All-American in there. He was number one draft. I mean, that's our only one. That's only first-round draft pick we've ever had. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I think you have to go with Joe Green. The good thing is you don't pick one.
There's more than one. And you're right. Joe Green should be one, and then Brandon Kennedy should be number two.
How about this one? 97-98 team. Tell me who would be the lineman from 97-98.
Scott Blank.
No, Scott Blank is not on here. Name change several times.
Oh, Corbin Montgomery.
Corbin Montgomery.
Yeah,
Corbin
yeah.
Epps. Corbin yep. Montgomery, our Muhammad.
Yeah.
Yes. And it says here, two-time All-Conference Big West, North Texas fourth career sacks, fourth in career sacks, North Texas fifth in career sacks for loss. It didn't say anything, and he played afterwards, I thought. It might have been.
It wasn't the NFL.
No, it
was like
an arena league or something.
Yeah. He was a stud. I mean, he was short, but he was just as strong as an ox and could really run. He was a really, really good player. And, you know, he's one of those guys you wish you had lining up this coming season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's no doubt, and I'm not saying anything against him. UNT 90 list mentioned
Cedric Hardeman.
And there's no doubt. That's a big name, and we've all heard of that greatness. There's no doubt. Let's look at some of the other players on here. Adrian Mwassum.
Man.
He was so dominating.
You know, and the thing about it is, I don't know if he really met his whole potential while he was here. But then, of course, he went to the NFL and ended up, I think, at the Giants and got in some trouble. Had that terrible story, you know, about getting in trouble like the night before the Super Bowl or something. Didn't get to play and just that whole thing. But he was a great, great player and as physically dominant a guy as we've ever had.
He was second in career sacks with 20. Now, if I had to ask you, Harry, who was number one in career sacks for Texas, do you know who that would be? And I'll tell you the name because it's 93-95 season, Willis Hudson.
Willis Hudson played, yes, I do know that name. He played under Simon for, I think, at least 1 year. He was a holdover from the 1AA program. He was a dominant at that level, but he was even good at the 1A level. I mean,
And is that another person who's tainted because of the 1A moniker?
They should. None of them should be tainted, but I'm just saying that's something.
Yeah. I'm just saying that.
I mean, the team in 1995 played what? Alabama, LSU, Oregon State. You know what I mean? When you're playing against that level of competition, it's a little different than playing Sam Houston State and Stephen F.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so let's look at a couple of other ones on here. A lot of older guys. Walter Chapman, Jeremiah Chapman.
Jeremiah Chapman, I think. I mean, he was a good player.
He was in those years, those rough years.
Chapman.
Well, he was here for 2004, too, but 2006, 2007, when things started going south.
Yeah, he was part of the downward.
He was part of that, yeah. And not to say that it was his, I'm just saying.
He was a good player, though.
Rayford Crook, Tony Elliott, J.C. Garrett. A lot of these are older, obviously. Cedric Hardeman, Ronnie Hickman. Don't know much about Willis Hudson. Obviously, we talked about him. Rex Johnson. That was in the Scott Davis team in the late 80s. Reginald Lewis, 70s, Roderick Manning. You've heard that name.
Roderick Manning was a good player. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. He had a good years. He was a JUCO guy, I believe, too. And then Corbin Montgomery, Corbin Epps, Muhammad. I can't remember the other part of his name. He's on there, too. So that's a kind of interesting list, some names. It's just amazing to me how you got a couple of guys in here, Rayford Cooks and Tony Elliott, that were early 80s, but you see these lists and you see a lot of late 60s, you see a lot of mid 70s, and you see a lot of late 80s, and then some early 90s, then 2000 on. So it comes in patches. These great players comes in patches, typically with great teams. Like I said, those couple of guys there from the early 80s, you just don't see a lot of players listed from that time period.
Well, you look at the bowl period from 2001 through 2000, four, five. I mean, that there were a lot of guys on those teams that are deserving of this, of getting some votes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something a lot of us can identify with. But yeah, there've been good players all through the years.
All right, so just a couple more categories here. Let's talk about linebackers. Another list that's skewed heavily by winning seasons. If you had to say linebackers, who's your best? It was.
I think Cody Spencer was the best linebacker we've ever had.
Interesting. I would have said Brad Castle.
And you know that this is hard because both of them are those are two of my favorite. But in terms of Cody had NFL skill.
I completely agree with you on the Cody Spencer thing. He was an excellent player. did Brad Castle's name grow because of what he did in the NFL?
I think so, but I mean, he was a great player.
No, there's no doubt. He was a great player.
And he was more the North Texas story. I mean, he was a guy that he played quarterback in a small school. No one knew he was going to be a great linebacker.
Where was he from?
Oh, gosh. I should know this. I can't tell you right off the bat. I usually do, but he was a skinny, just, I mean, weighed probably a buck 80, a buck 90, soaking wet when he showed up. And what he looked like when he left was just, I mean, he was a monster.
He was there for the first bowl game, I believe. Second bowl. He was the first two bowl games because he was there for 2001.
I thought he was there for just one bowl game in 2001. Yeah, 2001 was that, that season that we started off 0-5. And
they turned it around.
I actually remember interviewing him after beating Middle Tennessee and just how touched I was by how he was, saying that how great this win was, not just for them personally, but for the program, to get it turned around. And then they went on to go to the bowl game.
That was quite a big game. The sack that really Darrell Daniels.
Yeah.
That was a big time for us there.
Darrell Daniels was a guy too. I tell you.
I know. I was looking at him on here when Rob and I ran into him at the Kansas State game a couple years ago.
Yep.
Let's talk about Craig Robertson.
Craig Robertson was a great player, and now he's having a great NFL, run.
Oh, yeah, he is. It was great seeing him do so good the other day.
I think there's a lot of guys that fall into that category as far as at North Texas. We've had some good linebackers through the years.
We have. And Craig was here during the rough years, we call them.
Exactly.
And so it's good to see him on there.
Taylor Casey, I think, is another guy that deserves consideration.
Yes,
Chris Hurd, a walk-on, that played alongside some other really good linebackers.
He's on the list as well.
Deserves some consideration.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good – and here, once again, from the 2000, Taylor Casey, Chris Hurd, Cody Spencer, all those guys were the early 2000s. Those were the bowl games. We had a strong group of linebacker during those bowl games.
Oh, and we had a good backup, too, because Corey Wyatt was the backup, and he didn't – he was a pretty good player as a backup.
Yeah, I would like to have Corey back. Corey was a good guy. Corey worked for me part-time at UPS, and it was always good listening to him and a couple of those other guys who remain nameless listening to all the great stuff they had there. But Corey was a great guy. I mean, there's a lot of – we had a lot of good linebackers those years. And, the last really great one was Craig Robertson at the tail end of
– Well, now Zach, Orr is going to probably, he's the dates of this isn't going to work out for him, but he's a guy that's going to be on that list.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A couple other names on here. Lance White. One of the names that's on here, we all know, Byron Gross.
Yeah.
87-90. He had a great career here as well. So, and that was those years where you just don't hear. I mean, it's the Scott Davis years, against Texas and all that stuff, but it is, once again, it's the 1AA and a lot to be said there. All right, we played body bag games. Somebody pointed that out earlier. Body bag games those years too. So you're still playing.
Makes it tough.
Defensive backs. Oh, some of these guys' names on here just give you that chill. First name that comes to my mind.
Jonas Buckles.
but you look at some of the other names on here of people that when you remember and they just give you this, you laugh. Don McGee.
Don McGee was a great player. He
Buckles,
was...
McGee, and I know he's on. Oh, Craig Jones. Yeah.
Craig Jones.
I was hoping he was on there. Yes, Craig Jones.
I think more of Buckles and Jones. Those are and they both were safeties. They weren't corners. They were safeties, but they were just the most vicious hitting tandem. I think I don't know if we'll ever have that again.
No, that was awesome. McGee was here from 1999 to 2002. Craig Jones was here from 2000-2003, and Buckles was 2001-2004. It's that group right there. Those few years was just awesome.
Yeah.
And the hits. And we still, to this day, when we're talking about some of the hits that were made this past season, that was a Buckles type hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're awesome. Craig Jones from Senton, Texas, what can you say about him? He was here from 2000-2003, and he was
I'll never
awesome.
Forget Jones in the bowl game against Cincinnati, which I was at that game, which we won.
That
but watching it, I taped it on ESPN, there was a kickoff return, or it was a punt return or a kickoff return, where Jones got down there and just killed the guy. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking how neat that was to hear the national announcers say, wow, you know, yeah, what a big hit.
Yeah, it was great. Those were some great hits. And I miss that, especially in the secondary. We just don't see those.
We're not near as physical in the secondary. Now, you could argue we've got more speed. You know, if there was a fault of Craig Jones, I know he wasn't the fastest guy around. But, you know, as far as against the run, and if some receiver got – poor receiver came across the middle, he was going to let you know. You know, he made up for that speed with the physical play.
That's right. Phillip Littlejohn.
He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player. I wouldn't put him in the same category as those other guys.
He was in those lean years, the first few years of Simon, and there's a few players that really stuck out, and Littlejohn was one of them.
I think Merrikeith Knowlton, is he on that list?
No, he is not.
I'm surprised that he's not on that list.
You know what? As soon as you said his name, I know exactly. Yeah.
He was a very good player, could play safety and corner. He's kind of like – he's very similar to Brian Waters in that he played – corner and safety. I think he originally started at safety and they moved him to corner. Maybe they moved him back, but he was a very versatile guy.
Right. Yeah, that was that's an interesting one. All right, coming up to the last few categories here. That was defensive backs. Now let's move over to punters. This is a scary list because
Toby Gowan is
the best. He played with the Cowboys.
He played for the Cowboys.
You know, that's I remember the time when Barry Switzer gave Toby a chance to try for a field goal. Do you remember that?
I don't.
It was right before halftime. It was like a 50-something yarder, and they threw him out there, and the other team was pissed off where they were trying to run up the score, and Toby had his shot because he had a hell of a leg. And Toby came in, and he wasn't a big guy. Toby was a little scrawny guy. He always had the hottest girlfriends on campus because he was there when I was there. And he was a great guy, quiet guy, but man, he developed so much. He couldn't kick worth a darn when he got there, but boy, he was awesome, and he did well for himself afterwards. So great seeing Toby going on there. But you look at some of these other names on here. Truman Spencer.
He was good.
Yeah,
he was good.
Truman Spencer. Brad Cadlebar
was good.
I'm gonna forget that. John Baker
was really good.
Will Atterbury. I mean,
we've had some amazing punters. Oh, my gosh.
93 to 96 was Toby Gowan. Then 97 to 99 was John Baker. Then Will Atterbury was, or no, not after. Then you had Truman Spencer, 2000, Brad Cadlebar. Oh, my goodness. We just had great kicker punters ever since then. Will Atterbury, it's just amazing. So, you know, I feel sorry for the guys in 74 or 85 that were good because, wow. I mean, we had some great punters in the last 20 years, 25 years. All right, let's look at kickers. Here's some other – this is another list of things. But I think one name that is an older name that a lot of people still know is Iseed Corey.
Yeah, and that's a name I've heard enough good
now,
things
about.
He still
works on campus. Isn't that correct?
I'm not sure, but he's been around Denton. I know that. And I've had enough of the old-timers tell me about how good he was.
And his 62-yard field goal.
His 62-yard field goal, but he reminds me of – do you remember that kicker? I think he played for the Dolphins, Garo Yeprimian.
Uh-huh.
He was that kind of guy. He didn't really look like a football guy. I think he was a soccer-style kicker. I'm not sure. But he had a huge leg, and he was just a gamer. So he's not my heir, but I know to respect Corey.
All right, I'm looking at this list here, and I'm trying to figure out. They've got the stats here. It says Iseed Corey was the North Texas third and ninth first. He kicked the longest field goal, the third longest, and the ninth longest field goals.
Right.
So that's three kicks in the top 10 of all time, North Texas. That's pretty crazy. But, you know, I'm looking at some of these other names on here, Garrett Courtney and Nick Basildua.
Nick Basildua was as consistent as anybody we ever had.
I remember his dad at games, and then Jason Ball. There's some great names on there. But when you look at I see there he's – and I think he does work on camera. The stats there, that's pretty great. First career point after – percentage at 98.5. I mean, that's when we were independent, but those were the years. That was the whole move up.
I mean, is this going to be a one position type thing? I mean, are they going to name
one kicker?
And hopefully at the opening game, how cool would that be if each one of these guys
that'd be great. I'd like to see him, see if he can still kick a ball. All right, let's go to return specialists.
Oh, wow.
Who are you going to say? Because there's somebody that's current on this list, return specialist.
Well, the first,
we obviously know who it is, but
the first name that came to my mind from the past, I mean, is Jamel Branch on there?
Jamel Branch is on here. He is on the list.
I thought Jamel Branch was pretty darn good for a long time.
He was really good, and those were the years when we were doing real well. Breland Chancellor's on the list now.
And Breland, you know, he didn't do as much last year, but he the year before, he was absolutely amazing. They've moved him more to receiver, so he's not, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? His focus is a little bit different, but his first year was absolutely amazing.
Right. Abner Haynes is on here, Brock McGrew, JT Smith, Sears Wood. You've heard that name before.
Well, Sears Wood's the one that won that game against Tennessee.
98-yard kickoff return. Yeah, so that was a big deal, and everybody's going to remember Sears Wood for that. That's a tough one, though. It really is. Abner Haynes on this list, so he is on the list twice. But who picks what? Yeah, what do you say? I don't know. I see it.
Adman's saying Evan Roman.
Oh, my God. That guy with the long hair. Holy crap. How did he remain?
That's good, Adman. Good stuff.
Why did he leave? What happened that last year with him?
He wasn't that good.
He came from California. Yeah, wow, I can't believe
that. Adman says just for the hair, he should get the vote.
You're exactly. Oh, and there's some write-in people, too. Okay, let's get to the last topic. This is going to be your favorite.
Coach.
Obviously, there's one thing in here. We talked about this before. There's one name on here that's you got to wonder. Otis Mitchell was here from 46 to 66, 20 years. So a lot of people are going to associate their college afterwards, before, all with Otis Mitchell.
I can't vote for Otis Mitchell because I wasn't around when Otis Mitchell was the coach. Man.
He restarted the football program after the war.
Well, you know, I mean, the reality of it is, I'm sure he was a great coach, but how can I make a judgment of that error? You know, I don't really know enough about it.
I know, man.
To say.
I don't know. I'm right there with you, and it's tough.
But you got to go on results, and you know, for me, and this, I know, boy, Rick Villarreal is going to be throwing darts at me and
so
everything
great.
Else, but it's Daryl Dickey,
dude. Daryl Dickey's.
Daryl Dickey won a bowl game in the modern era on national television against Cincinnati, who, you know, Cincinnati's not Notre Dame, but they were favored in that game. I mean, and he was coach of the year 4 years consecutively in the conference.
I you know what, dude? I completely I agree with you. Love Daryl Dickey. Always great. He was a great guy. There's no coach you would rather have a beer with. Because the stuff that come out of his mouth, the Safeway, the Buick, everything, Daryl was great. You know what? When we were building the program before then, you know, Daryl would show up at parties, get fans going.
He was
and
great.
And not to say that other coaches didn't. Yeah, they didn't really. So. But
he's not going to win. I can tell you that.
I think the powers that be, that's going to be a tough thing. But you know what? Daryl Dickey does have a practice field named after him. And whenever you walk up to that athletic department, it's right there in your face. So there's no doubt. But you look at this list, the other name on here that I would have to throw out there is Hayden Fry.
Hayden Fry's going to win.
Hayden Fry is the one that's going to win because of what he did. You know, we tried to get a copy of it last year.
And he got us as close. I mean, you could argue Hayden Fry in that last year got us on the cusp of getting into the Southwest Conference and all this other stuff.
A real interesting story, and I had posted a thing about him talking about trying to get in the West Southwest Conference and everything on the board. There was a lot of stuff in the works. The powers that be, the people, the decision makers in the state just did not want us there. And, you know, Houston had to claw their way to get there. And we were not.
Tech had to claw their way. They all
Tech had it. Yeah, it was a tough battle, and things just didn't work out. And Hayden was disenchanted. But Hayden campaigned out there like crazy.
Oh.
You know, we tried to get a copy of it and show it to the fans last year. We're going to get one this year. There was a documentary made by Dabney Coleman. Dabney Coleman actually wore a mean green shirt on a network television program. Still trying to get a copy of the picture of him wearing a mean green shirt. And it was a weekly series. So. He did.
Dabney Coleman's claim to fame, of course, the best little whorehouse in Texas.
No. That was Nine to Five.
Oh, crud. Oh, that's right. Nine to Five.
I was thinking Cloak and Dagger. But Dabney Coleman was a, you know, he's a
He was a
name.
Good character actor.
But he actually made that documentary. back in the 70s. You know, he was he's from Texas. So, or no, he went to Texas, or one of the things. But anyway, Hayden Fry did a lot for the program. Theron Fouts, you heard the name because obviously who he was. They named Fouts Field after him, and we stayed in Fouts Field about 30 years too long. So everybody knows Fouts. But, you know, he was here a lot. He was a coach for 4 years, but he was athletic director at the same time, too. I didn't know he was only here for 4 years. But anyway, there's some names on there, but I think Hayden Fry is going to be the one that's going to win it. But I would vote for Darrell Dickey.
I would, too. And, I mean, I think you got to judge just – when you're doing this, you can't just look at the bad stuff. You got to look at the good stuff. And I mean,
I think Hayden Fry – to a lot of people is tainted by what happened at the end.
He left
because it wasn't really going anywhere. And then when, and not that he left that was bad, it's the spiral that happened after he left.
Right.
And that's why until 94, really we weren't on the picture, weren't in the picture because of that. So that's the one that, all right. Last thing before we get off this topic is the write-in candidate. Do you have anybody else that
wasn't on the list?
That wasn't on the list that you think should have been on the list?
Not right offhand. Oh, Woosley.
Oh, that's a good one, Harry.
Brad Woosley.
Brad
Big
Woosley,
Nasty.
That's the one. And we bring Brad up because he was the largest player I think we've ever. He was a huge guy.
6'8", 365 pounds.
And Darrell, he didn't play much. Very little, but Darrell Dickey would always have him get off the bus first because he said he'd always have him get off the bus first because when everybody saw him, they'd go, good grief, look at the size of those guys. So I just remember that from the Darrell Dickey days. But, you know, there are some players, and you mentioned a couple like Markeith Knowlton and all those.
I think I wrote a couple in when I voted, but I can't remember which ones they were. But there were a few, but I will give the athletic department credit. And I think
it's a pretty good list.
David Pike, I think, helped come up with this concept, so he deserves some credit too. But the list is pretty darn comprehensive.
It is a good list. Now, all right, let's shift over because we're already at 46 minutes. I want to try to keep it under an hour here, but let's shift over to schedule for next year talk, because you and I have discussed that we're going to try to make all the conference games. This is a big deal. This is first year in Conference USA, and obviously there are things in the football conference college world are always changing.
For a minute, theater of the mind, let's wash the stink of this basketball season off of us, and let's move forward in a positive manner.
I was talking about the changes that are still happening in the college landscape. But let's talk about the first game in Denton, Idaho.
Great game. We didn't pay too much for it. It's a 1A opponent that we should beat and beat handily. If we lose it,
you need to
put some more barbed wire around the pedestrian bridge because people are going to be jumping off that
sucker.
Oh,
that's going to be bad. Ohio is the second game in Ohio, in Athens, Ohio. If you don't know where Athens, Ohio is, it's about 2 hours from anywhere.
Yeah, Mickey Tettleton's son is the QB there. We are not going to be favored. It's going to be on the road. I'm thinking that's probably an L, but hey, man, who knows? That's why you play the game.
The next game on Saturday, September 14th, is Ball State. That's, you know what, we thought things had really turned around when we played Ball State when we did the epic road trip.
You were on the road at the game. I was at the poorhouse. We had a big crowd. I'm telling you, that was a fun win.
That was probably the biggest win in the Dodge era that we were so excited about. I mean, we were like, oh my gosh, this is a start, and we upset Ball State. That was a big deal. Now, that was the year after. That was the first game after they had a great season. They had strung together a great season.
But they lost. Didn't that quarterback go to the NFL or something?
Yeah,
they lost a key guy.
They lost a lot of good players. And so we were the start of their downward spiral. But then Saturday at 20, we play Georgia.
Yuck. Don't like that game.
So this time we're not in Athens, Ohio. We're in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, we're two Athens in a season. It's kind of odd.
It's very odd.
I mean, Georgia is not a game that you get too excited about, but who knows? I mean, I think we're going to have a good team. I do.
All right. So those first four games,
look at Kansas State. I mean, they were supposed to be all that, and we played them pretty tough.
We did. And that set us up for big things that we didn't really quite come through on. But, those first four games, I wouldn't mind going to the Ohio game just because I never go to any games up there. You know, that's just one area we don't play a lot of games at. And I don't know, it might be a good road trip. Not road trip, fly. Then Saturday, October 5th, which something that we were going to be looking forward to for years to come, and now it's looking like it for 1 year we'll get to play at Tulane in New Orleans.
That was the coup of the whole conference schedule,
man.
We
get to play in New Orleans every year.
That's and you know, hopefully we'll have a good start, you know, up to that point, because that could be a game. A lot of good memories, you know.
Yes.
A lot of good memories from those games. I remember you know, that's your busy time of year work-wise, but that one time you flew in and...
I flew in, went straight to the game, went to Bourbon Street, then caught the 6 o'clock flight to come back to work the next day.
But, man, I mean, I went all 4 years.
It was great.
And, I mean, it was like a vacation before Christmas.
Everybody talks about that, how great
it was.
And so this year, that is the first game that I'm definitely going to make, Saturday, October 5th. Come on, Southwest Airlines, put some good deals together.
Yeah, I told Evan, I'm already looking. I was already looking when the schedule came out. I went to the Southwest site, and unfortunately, they don't put the flights on quite yet. But I'm sure as soon as they do, a lot of people on the board are going to be talking about it and what the best deals are. There's get those flights early. If you can knock those out early, man, it makes it so much cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. And then we play Middle Tennessee in Denton.
And people were kind of bummed out because we've played them before, and that's, but you know, what, that's a good challenge for us. That team, that program, not just football but basketball too, has really moved upwards. So
they took a little step last year. We didn't think they were going to take. Then we play Louisiana Tech in Ruston. Easy road trip.
Huge game.
We need a big crowd for that game. I'm hoping that we put together a solid string, but we can win, you know, three or four of those early games.
That's a game you can drive to and maybe talk your significant other into going to and maybe taking a stop over in Shreveport.
Stopping the boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. And then Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. Never been to Southern Miss. You know, I've gone to Tuscaloosa, gone through Mississippi down there to games, but I've never actually gone to a game in Mississippi. So that's going to be a road game that's...
I'm looking forward to that
be good.
A lot.
Yeah. Then we have a string of three home games. Now, this is what's great about the schedule, because Saturday, November 23rd is right before Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
Right.
Or right after Thanksgiving. Is that right?
Because Thanksgiving falls on the Thursday before the Saturday. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I think you're
right.
Is that
what it is? All right. We're going to look at that up right quick. But that we play Saturday, November. Well, on October 31st, Halloween night, we play Thursday a game on Halloween night, which is horrible. But it is.
I don't
Rice.
Know. It's a national television game. I know you're going to say no one's going to come, but I don't. I think if you can play a national television game against Rice, that's not a bad thing.
Dude, let me just tell you, if you got kids or anybody that's got any kind of kids, they're going to want to trick or treat that night. And when you got to play a game on Thursday night when they're not running around the neighborhood with their friends, that's going to be a problem.
Make something fun at the stadium that the kids can go to.
I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but yeah, your kids are going to want to dress up with all their friends from school. And that's the night they do it on. So we're playing on an October 31st game. And that's, you know, call it what it is. I mean, I'll be at the game, but I'm just telling you, there's going to be a lot of people have issues with that date. So
no doubt.
We'll have to do that. All right. So Thanksgiving is, I'm guessing, on the 21st. So the 23rd is always a problem on the 23rd. It's that game. After Thanksgiving, everybody's traveling. But we're playing UTSA. And they're going to throw everything they can up here for this game.
They're going to have a lot of fans.
And,
I know that.
And they're going to have a lot of fans. We need to have a lot of fans of that game. That's good. But there's three home games in a row, and that's great. And then we finish
okay,
off.
Okay, wait. UNT90's telling us Thanksgiving is November 28th, so it's the week before if you're looking at the dates.
Oh, it is the 28th. So Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, you've got 2 days left in – wow, it just seems so late.
Yeah, it does.
It seems real late because when you start looking at the schedule, well, that's going to crazy Black Friday shopping. So the last game is Saturday, November 30th at Tulsa, and that would be the Thanksgiving weekend there, and that would make it easier for people to road trip if they wanted to, but it's at Tulsa, so it is what it is.
If Tulsa moves the Big East, it might be the last time we play them in a while.
That's right. So we're looking at six home games, which is great.
Awesome, compared to five, for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got six home games. And if you look at these home games, I'd say the Idaho and then Middle Tennessee are the least exciting of those games.
Yeah, you don't have a Texas Southern. They're all 1A games. I mean, the UTSA game, I mean, it's just a much better schedule than we've ever had. I think I put on the board it's the best schedule we've ever had. You could argue maybe in 1995 when we were playing all these, you know, but that was a body bag schedule. This is actually a schedule of teams people are interested in that we've got a chance to win. I think it's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think the only I was kind of hoping we'd play at UTSA. Now, I'm not taking home a home game. I'd rather play it at home.
You know what I said to that is I'd rather get the last game in New Orleans. You know what I mean? If it was, I'd rather have that away game at New Orleans because they're not going to be in the conference. I think we came out ahead, but you're right. That would have been great to have a trip to San Antonio.
Well, we'll do it next year.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I mean,
or in basketball, you'll have the chance because everybody plays. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a good schedule. I mean, it really is. Compared to this year, I think we definitely will do good. And those home games are going to have something at them because of the 100th year of football. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff this year to look forward to. So, you know what? Here we are. We got a couple of things we got to pitch real quick, and a lot of people know about them. But we've got the Andrew Smith Scholarship.
Yeah, the Gomeen Green Bowl football, flag football game. There's a lot of information on GomeenGreen.com about it. But what I would tell you is sign up. It's a great time. It's in Apogee Stadium. It's the same day as the spring game, April 13th this year. And it starts at 10 o'clock. We need more players. We need more volunteers. This is a great deal because it benefits UNT athletic scholarships. And it's fun. It's a good chance to get together with your Mean Green buddies, and there's a lot of former players that are going to be there. It's a great event. It's a lot of fun, and I know some guys say, well, man, I'm not in shape or whatever else. Hey, I'm not either. You know, a lot of us are out there aren't in the best shape, but it's still fun to get out there and throw the pigskin around. We've also got a basketball game that is also a charity event, and that game is actually going to be even sooner. That game is going to be on March 23rd at 10 o'clock a.m. in the Strickland Middle School gym. We couldn't get it in the UNT gym this year because of a scheduling conflict, but it is also a great event. If you like playing basketball, we need more players. That's the one we need the most help on right now because it's kind of a quick turnaround before that game. And We're trying to work around the athletic department schedule. They're supporting both of these events and helping us out. So, again, two great events. All the proceeds go to charity. If you enjoy the site and the podcast and what we do, please support us on these events because the money is going right back into the scholarship fund.
All right. Well, with that, we will end this one. I'm not sure when we'll have another one. This is usually that time of year. It gets kind of quiet, but you know, a lot of things going on with the program for this coming year. This is a year Max really expected to step up. We had some good, interesting recruits. We didn't even talk about signing day. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. So we'll probably be back in a month or so and stay on the board and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.